This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, everybody. So welcome to this episode of Vulnerable. I will be having a wonderful guest, Joey Graceffa, on. Joey is a very highly successful YouTuber, an OG YouTuber, blogger, actor, author. He's written 4 books and a producer. Hey, what's up, Joey?
Hello. It's been so long.
Do you remember there was the funniest thing that you said? And I want to rewatch it back. And it was when we were cooking together.
Yeah.
When I first met you, you said something on DA or something like, do you remember?
Yeah, that's like a very classic Joey thing to say. Well, just add on DA to like
it was
random stuff.
Adorable. And we were basically making fish and chips because of one of your older videos was about like London or fish and chips.
Yeah. Oh, no, I was obsessed with England. And I mean, I still am. So. Yeah.
Well, I mean, it is pretty awesome. I do love it. Sometimes I fantasize about moving there and staying
same.
There for like a year.
Yes.
And like doing theater.
The same dream. Oh, yes.
Right?
Oh my God. I love that for
you. Have you not done theater?
I did theater in high school.
Okay.
Yeah.
What slowed you down from it?
It's actually crazy. Theater is actually what sent me into the direction that I am. Like, I almost went down a whole path of becoming like a carpenter handyman type person. But my first year of high school was like the school audition, and I was like, you know what? Like, I've always kind of wanted to dabble into acting. Like, let me audition. And I auditioned, and I got the lead role. So I was like, okay, what is this? So my next year of high school, I got the option to go to a trade school or to stay at my high school. And I was like, well, I really enjoyed acting and being in theater. So if I go to this trade school, they're not going to have that. So it kind of like put me in this whole trajectory of like staying in high school, meeting my best friend from high school, started making YouTube videos together, mm-hmm. and brought me out to LA. So crazy.
That is crazy. You were going to be a carpenter?
Yeah, my dad was a carpenter. So I was like let
Jesus.
Me follow. Just like Jesus. And so, yeah,
that's
I just
crazy.
To be like
so
dad.
Your dad was a carpenter.
Yeah.
Okay, in Mass, right?
Yep, Massachusetts.
Okay, do you ever miss Mass?
I go there like once a year in the summertime, which is beautiful, and then I'm good.
Yeah, that's you don't need the snow and the changing leaves and all that.
I like the snow for a day.
Yeah.
Like, I missed playing in the snow when I was a kid, and like the fresh snow and like it being so bright out at night and getting to just like build snow forts. But
oh, crisp air. I mean, look, I live in Austin, Texas, and we had one of the roughest summers. I mean, literally locals were like, this was a rough summer.
Like really hot.
Yeah, it was like, I mean, it was like 2 months of over 100 degree. And I mean, this is kind of the new normal.
I know.
You know,
it's terrifying. I hate the saying, but it's so true. It's like, this will be the coolest summer of our future.
Ooh.
Like,
yeah, when you have kids too, that hits you harder too. You know what I'm saying? Because it's like, they're the future. But you kind of just, I live with a Marine, right? And it's like, I think like what's really fascinating is the concept of how adaptable human beings are. That's not to say that we won't do everything in our power to fix the problems and to mitigate all risk and all the things that are to come. But it's kind of like whatever's within your control, you kind of have to, being through a pandemic and like everything that we've all been through as you're millennial, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I
never know who's a millennial and who's Gen Z anymore.
Why is there like such a war? Like, I feel like Gen Z is so mean to us.
They're so mean.
They are.
But the irony is that so many of Gen Z, because I don't want to say all of Gen Z is like that, but all of Gen Z claims to be very mental health focused, but a lot of them are very similar. And I've read an article on this to like boomers in the way they treat millennials, because they are like, why do millennials talk so slow? And why do they care so much about going to Disneyland? And like,
we get it from both ends.
I know.
That's so true.
It's not cool.
Dang, we need to team up.
We do.
We're better as allies than enemies.
Okay, so speaking of allies, what was it like growing up? I love your book. I'm very excited. Look, okay. I haven't read it, so please just, I'm excited.
It came out forever ago. It was like.
Why forever ago? Why didn't
well,
I not?
2015?
Oh my God. 16? This is why people say, Christy, you don't research your guests.
Well, so I've had four
this
books.
That's my problem.
So that was my first book. And then I had a series called Children of Eden, which was like a YA.
So Pixelated Life was.
That was about me.
That was a long time ago, though.
That was, yeah, that was my first one in 2016, maybe it came out.
Four books, Joey. Yeah. That's amazing.
Thank you.
I would like to write a memoir and I don't know where to start.
Oh my God.
What was that like for you?
It was very therapeutic, first of all. I mean, I definitely got like a little bit of backlash at first because I was like 24 when I wrote it. Mm-hmm. So it was like, you're 24. Like, why are you writing a memoir? Mm-hmm. And the reason was because I had experienced like a lot of stuff in my teen years and growing up with an alcoholic parent and having a learning disability that I had such a young teen audience that I was like, you know what? While I have this audience, let me share my story of how I got through that and where I am today, as opposed to waiting till I'm way older when maybe I won't have that audience to read that message and be inspired. So I just wrote about my life from that point. And like, who says there can't be a part two, a part three, a part four? Like,
that's amazing.
Yeah.
Do you feel like when you wrote that memoir that you grew your following? Like, I feel like it wasn't, sometimes as content creators, primarily, the reason why we do things is so that people can see them. And I find myself having to negotiate like the SEO of it and like the authenticity of it. And it's like, what I've always really liked about you is how you've always just kind of been very authentic and your personality has sort of shown through. You're not putting on airs. I feel like you're not going above and beyond to prove yourself. And so it is really great that you did that long ago, but the folks that did get your book at that time, do you feel like they've grown with you? Have you?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I came out with that book when I came out. Honestly, I was going to like have the book be where I came out in. I even have like a chapter where like the whole chapter is literally just like, I'm gay. The end. And that was the chapter.
Well done.
So kind of iconic.
I love that.
But I went on book tour right after that. And it was so amazing to have, and a little bit heavy, but a lot of kids came up to me and like would whisper in my ear that they also were gay. So they were coming out to me for the first time. And like, we had like a few second interaction and then they're gone. And it's like, oh my God, that was really great that they like felt comfortable to share that with me. But it was like, it was a lot for me to like hold on to that as well. Cause it's like such an emotional thing to like, you want to spend time with that person. Mm-hmm. But I definitely think like my audience has grown up with me. Obviously some have left and gone on their way, but like I run into people who are like, were teenagers at the time that now have a job and like I'll run into them at their work and they'll like just say the sweetest things about how much I meant to them. So,
and you had met them before or they found you when they were teens?
Just found my videos
or
had read my book or seen my shows and stuff. So
do you have one fan interaction that really like stands out to you as like positive or negative?
A positive?
Sure.
I mean, there's been crazy ones where I've just been like seen on the highway and like people like literally like stick their head out in the highway like trying to flag me down. I'm like, oh my God, you're gonna literally kill yourself.
Oh my God.
And then just like more like sweet one. I've just had so many, like especially on tour, like the things that they'll like say to me and open up in just like such a quick time is just, I don't know, it's really sweet.
When I met you a few years ago, where would you say you were at with your YouTube career?
I mean, I honestly have always felt very like scared. Like I'm always scared. Like even like looking back at like a time where I didn't have to be scared, it's like this industry is so ever changing and people fall off all the time that it's like you never know when it's your turn to go. But I honestly think as long as you choose not to go anywhere, you're fine. I'm kind of getting to that point where, like, it's really you who decides mm-hmm. when it's over. Other people don't really get to decide that.
And why is that? Is it that everyone has an opinion? Is it the rate and the speed of the internets?
Yeah, I think that. And I think you're so good at this. Like, you pivot so well. Like, I'm so impressed with you. Like, I was thinking about this morning. I'm like, this girl, she's like always changing it up and doing something.
I got bangs, babe.
She's got bangs. Who is she? And I honestly think that's how you are able to evolve and change and stay in a space that people are still interested in wanting to, like, continue on your journey.
I would say that folks like you definitely influenced me in terms of my early YouTube career or content creation career, let's put it that way, rather than just, like, you know, I'm taking pictures for, you know, free baby products, which is how I started all this.
Oh, okay.
That's really just, I was pregnant and I was like, oh, I need a stroller, like, you know, and then it ended up in a really nice size deal for me that ended up taking me from, you know, debt and living in a small apartment, you know, with my husband to moving to a house in Orange County. It wasn't like huge, huge. I don't want to like say that, but basically it really helped me get out of a different place and pivot into understanding content creation.
Yeah.
And so when the time that you saw me, it had been a couple of years of understanding that there was, you know, money to be made in this world. And I think that's when people started really saying, oh, you know, this new generation really only wants to be influencers. I don't know if you can speak to that, but a lot of people hate on Gen Z and probably the younger millennials, because that's kind of how they see the world, is like, oh, there's monetary value from my life.
Well, I think it's probably just because of how it's showcased and curated of, like, I mean, who wouldn't want to have, like, that as a job? It just seems so fun when you see it from an outsider perspective. It's like, you just get to, like, stay at home and film videos, and, like, it just sounds like the best job ever, which it is. Like, honestly, I wouldn't choose anything else. Like, mm-hmm. this is why I love to do what I do. Mm-hmm. I think the motivation behind it is obviously what's gonna decide if it lasts or not. Because if you're not, like, genuinely in love with it and you're just doing it for the money, it's gonna be like a year thing and then you're out. But
do you feel like there's something that you have underneath, like, we talk about pivoting, and you've pivoted tons of times. You have, you know, had four active YouTube channels at any given time,
and yeah.
I have two podcasts, and that's, like, enough for me.
Yeah.
But honestly, it's so fantastic to watch over the years the quality of your time, your content with, like, Escape the Night, and all those amazing cameos that you had, and all of that, like, truly is so much more work than people can comprehend. So, I see. That's why I was saying, like, when we met, it kind of blew my mind to see your content, because I was like, wow, like, production value is rewarding. Like, even working hard and utilizing sort of, like, the talents in traditional Hollywood production, like, putting that into just what people are like, oh, it's just a YouTube video. No,
sure.
It's more than that. It can be just a vlog, like some of the things you do. Or it can be like the Escape the Night level, which, by the way, that was that originally funded by YouTube?
Yeah, it was.
Like the Fine Brothers, like that whole time. Okay, Fine Brothers were the React.
Yeah.
The React videos.
Yeah.
And then I think they were like, I remember going on their channel a few times to do React videos. And
yeah.
And they became like a huge franchise. But it was like YouTube was only giving money to certain kinds of creators. And I believe you were one of the first.
Yeah, I was one of the first with like four other shows, or maybe three others. It was just the beginning of what at the time was YouTube Red. And they launched with like four shows. And I got lucky and I got to be one of the first ones.
What was your budget?
It was like a little under 2 million, I think.
Mm-hmm. Which is not much.
No, not for 10 episodes, or I think it was 12 that we had to deliver in the first season.
Had you shown them, because before Escape the Night, had you done something that was like a version of Escape the Night?
Not necessarily a version. I was actively pitching to them before that to do a second season of a crowdfunding series they did called Storytellers. Mm-hmm. So I was in pitching rooms, like talking about this series I wanted to do. I even did this thing as like kind of cringe.
Okay, we need to talk about cringe culture.
What?
Cringe is great. Cringe is effective as a word. Yeah. But like, you own it. It's okay that it was cringe. You made an effort and you killed it. Let's go.
I was in the pitch meeting and I was like trying to show them the like enthusiasm that my audience had for this show called Storytellers. Mm-hmm. And I was like, watch. I was like, let me tweet right now.
Flex.
And I was like, let me tweet right now to show you how much people want it.
I mean, come on. I mean, it's studio executives are so stupid. Yeah. I'm sorry to say it. They're so stupid unless you actually pull a stunt like this.
So I literally had it like worldwide trending in the room. So I was like, look at your Twitter right now. Like Storyteller season 2 is trending.
You're like, power. Yeah. My finger, this phone.
And they gagged. They live for it. So it didn't work because they didn't pick it up. But it brought me into the room again to pitch more stuff.
Yeah.
And that's how I got Escape the Night.
So Escape the Night, for those of you who may not know, is this amazing high concept mystery, basically like choose your own adventure.
Yeah, it's like a murder mystery mm-hmm. with YouTubers that mm-hmm. has like escape room qualities because we're solving clues, fighting actors who are like playing monsters and we're interacting with them. And then at the end of each episode, we all vote as a group for two people to be sent into a death challenge, and one dies and one comes back to the group, and then throughout the season, we're just killing each other off.
I was going to say, like, the stakes are pretty freaking high.
Yeah.
It was really, when it came out, I feel like it really put YouTube on the map, in my opinion. Okay, YouTube is YouTube.
I don't know about that, but.
YouTube is YouTube, but I'm just saying that, like, people didn't see YouTube as, like, a place you could have that level of production.
Yeah, I think it was definitely a shift of them putting more quality content on their platform.
Yeah.
And mine was the longest running show, so I think it was the most popular.
Well, you had star power. So like, I remember with Disney, they used to term it synergy. And like what you were doing vis-a-vis YouTube allowing you to do it through funding is like aggregating all of those collaborations. And like, for a while, I you know, the weird thing is that you've always been so kind to come on all my stuff and collaborate, but it has been hard to like get people to collaborate with. So what's that been like in terms of being an OG YouTuber to see? It's kind of like when I moved to Austin wasn't like it is now. You know what I mean? Like it's been gentrified, it's been changed, and it's like just the community is vastly different than Austin 10 years ago or something. So like, what is it like now? What's the culture of community at YouTube?
It's changed a lot. Like I would say 2014 to 16, maybe even to 18 was like the golden era of YouTube community, of us all supporting each other and it feeling like you kind of knew like who the main YouTube personalities were at that time. There was always like a star each year, like mm-hmm. a YouTube like number one person. And now I would say it's gone. There isn't that. It's
there's just like only Mr. Beast.
Yeah. It's just Mr. Beast and then everybody else. Yeah.
And he's taken over TikTok now too.
Oh gosh. Yeah.
for good reasons, I guess. You know, there's a lot of charitable efforts that are made through the Mr. Beast content.
Yeah.
And we're friends with the people there and you know, they work really great. Hard. No one can possibly compete with that content.
No, not at all. So it just kind of feels like we're all just like doing our own little thing. Right. Now.
So what are you doing?
So right now I am doing more produced content on like a studio, like white psych. And I'm doing kind of, I guess it would be like social experiment type thing where like I'm bringing like YouTubers in to have them blind date people behind a screen. Like I had JoJo Siwa come in and she blind dated 6 bachelorettes and it was so fun. And then I had Chris Olsen do that. And I'm kind of like wanting to be like the like YouTube dating guru.
I love this for you.
Bring in all the single ladies and find them love.
I love that for you. That's amazing.
Yeah, it's fun. And it's like I can shoot 4 out in a day and then I have like my month's worth of content and then I can focus on other stuff. So
can we talk about block shooting?
Oh, it's the best.
It's the most sustainable model for content creation.
Yeah.
Like I was telling you that I fly in and yes, it is super early. I've like woke up at 4 a.m. in Texas time and, you know, powered out here and, you know, I'll have 3 days of filming, but I'm going to be set on a full scale, like I'll get 15 to 16 weeks of guests and contents.
That's,
you know,
crazy.
Yeah. It's I'm very proud of that because it's everyone's efforts combined with the crew and the booking and everything. But yeah, so it's great.
Yeah.
So you block shoot now too?
Yeah. And it's fabulous. Like, I love that I can just shoot 4 videos in a day. And it, like, I genuinely have so much fun filming them that like the day goes by so fast and I'm like, oh my God, that was so fun. And I'm like, so like high on energy at the end. And now it's like, it's almost like an elevated collaboration because I'm bringing in YouTubers now to film some high quality content with them. And it's not so much like the old school of collabing where you just sit down and like do a challenge. It's
like mukbang.
Yeah. Now I like have a camera crew and casting people and just like have a whole set.
I'm always curious because people are always very opinionated about, you know, just so many OG YouTubers. You were saying like sometimes people get like taken out in general.
Sure.
Like, how do you deal with cancel culture?
Oh, cancel culture.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I think it's like there's definitely things that I think are valid cancelable offenses.
Absolutely.
And then there's stuff that's just kind of like, come on.
Yeah.
Like,
do you feel like you owe an explanation to people when they're like, hey, you know, you did a video with this person, or, you know, because I've experienced that even by having, you know, just neutral conversations with folks that come on, and it's a little frustrating.
Yeah. I mean, it's tough because like you could pre-film something with someone and then like something bad comes out about them. And then it's like, okay, do I just not post it, or do like, is it going to blow over by then? Are people going to not be so upset?
Mm-hmm.
So it is kind of like a tricky balance.
Mm-hmm.
Cause someone's getting canceled every other day. So it's like,
it's tough. Cause it's like, you do, like, you've always been such a positive and authentic and like you're everybody's best friend. Like, that's your whole brand. Right.
Yeah.
That it's tricky to want to redirect things without, you know, also feeling like you didn't address it.
Yeah. And it's kind of like, I'm the type of person where like, I don't like use Twitter or anything anymore, or X, whatever, because I feel like there's so much noise and I feel like people expect so much for everyone to speak on everything. And like, I keep so much to myself that like, I don't want to have to talk about every little thing that's either going on in the world or that's happened. Like, why do I need to address everything?
You're like, not a, you know, you don't, may not know what's going on internationally and like everything, like you're not the leader of that industry, so to
but
speak.
But there's also just so much noise already that like me adding to that, what is that actually contributing? Like, I'm not doing anything to benefit it in any way. Like, why does my voice also need to be heard? Obviously, there's certain things where it's like, it's good to bring awareness to certain issues going on in the world, but like not everything needs to be from the same person. Like, there other people like can step in and address it.
Absolutely.
It's just a lot. There's always something going on, so it's,
but it, but the way that I think of that is that that's how you've been able to have such a long career in this. Like, we were talking about the pivoting and how much time that takes to not just find your voice but then stay in the game. And so I think there's really like, I appreciate your strength of character in that way. Because it's not easy.
Yeah, I think it's just been like something that's evolved over time. I think at first I thought I always had to like speak up and say something, and I've just kind of learned that it's just not always needed. So it's something that you learn over time, I guess.
I'm still learning it. Because I'm like,
really? I feel like you're so good.
No, there's so many times when somebody says some random stuff, and my husband's really great at being like, don't even read the comments, just post and drop, you know, and walk away. But for me, it's like, I really am trying to do it OG YouTuber style, where I'm like friendly, like it's actually me responding and actually me, but I've fallen into a rabbit hole of kind of over searching my name and overlooking at Reddit or overlook. I know it's really stupid.
I did that in my early days. There was like gossip sites and stuff. I actually
Snark. I think they're called like Snark Reddits or something. I don't know.
Yeah, that's just like a dark rabbit hole. I'm sorry. It's, and it becomes addicting.
Yeah.
It's like a really bad place to get into because they'll pick up on insecurities of yours and then you're, as soon as you see it, it's almost confirmation to believe those things.
Mm-hmm.
And then it gets in your head, and then suddenly you're doubting yourself and your worth. And it's just a very toxic path to go down.
Yeah. And also it's definitely going to kill any kind of joy that you're getting out of making the content too. So yeah, I guess you just have to learn from that and just like not let the haters win for sure. I love that about you. Thank you very much. And so we have big news from what I was told. We have something very good to share with Joey. And so we talked about, you know, just how important Escape the Night was. And I know that you're happy doing your collaborative dating shows.
Well, there's other stuff. And I want to actually have you on one.
Oh, please. Because
I do like other stuff.
Although I am married.
Like, no, I know. I do like another one I did with JoJo is like I did guess which one's a lesbian.
Okay.
But I want to do something Disney related with you. Like maybe where we have like people who've been on Disney Channel that like maybe like had like a cameo or something. And like we have to guess who's lying about being on Disney.
Oh, my God. I love that. And I'm here for it. And I want to be on your channel. Absolutely.
Okay. I have some other ideas cooking.
So, I love that you have ideas for me.
Definitely want to have you on.
Please. Thank you. Yes, we will make it work in the new year. I will come back and we'll add time just to do that. That will be fun. I love collabing.
Okay. Definitely. Because you've had me on so many things and I love shooting with you. Like that pie thing that we did.
We went crazy. You're so sweet.
And you like ended up cutting out so much of it when we were like.
Oh my God, I remember you totally pushed that pie in my face. So I had this very short-lived challenge-focused format on YouTube called Blindfold Bake Off.
Yeah.
And it was adorable. You basically had to like decorate a cake in the theme and to honor the guest or whatever. So his was like a pyramid. Yours was super complicated.
Yeah.
And then whoever lost would get a pie in the face.
Uh-huh. And I got the pie. But
you still.
I wasn't going to let you get away with it.
No, he didn't. He totally savagely pushed the pie into my face towards the end. I'll never forget it.
And then
it.
We were just going at it like full on like pie fight.
Oh no. And we cut a bunch of them.
Yes. I was like, wait. I was like, oh my God, I can't wait to see. And then just like cut away. And I was like, oh dang.
Oh dang. I'm bummed too. Oh. Okay, so what's the big news that we get to share with everybody?
So, it's been very challenging to get a season 5 of Escape the Night made just because it's been 4 seasons that has an established like storyline and it's like kind of seen as a YouTube show, at least from traditional sources that we've tried taking it to. So, you know what? I'm done. I'm sick of waiting on traditional to pick up a season or give me the money that I need. So I'm taking matters into my own hands. And if the fans want something Escape the Night related, I'm going to, well, I am launching right now a crowdfunding campaign to raise money to make an Escape the Night movie.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I'm so excited.
You are. Look at your big smile.
I'm like, I'm nervous, but excited at the same time.
Why are you nervous?
Well, I just like, I want it to be a success. And like, I mean, regardless of how much money we make, we're going to make something with the money that we're able to raise, whether it's a short film or something substantial for the fandom and the audience that loved Escape the Night. But I would love to raise $1 million to get a movie started, and then we can find funding elsewhere. Because if people, investors see...
It's like what you did when you were pushing the tweet.
Yeah.
It's like just showing them that you have the power in your own hands.
Yeah, like there's an audience hungry for more Escape the Night content. Like, and then with it being scripted, there's so much more that we can do that was kind of limiting with doing it the way that we shot it as a TV show.
Yeah.
Because it was a lot of unscripted live elements.
I was going to say, was it improv?
It was a lot of improv. Yeah. So there was like things that we had to make sure triggered at a certain time that cost a lot of money. So like if we can script those moments, and I want to have YouTubers and traditional talent combine forces and really create something magical and, you know, bring Escape the Night back to life.
Are there like other people that you think you'd want to bring in? Like you said, traditional celebrities.
Yeah.
And then maybe TikTokers, just like all sorts of different people. Yes. Oh, reality all stars. Sorts.
Of course, like I want them to have the acting chops to be able to, you know, sell that this is a legit movie. I don't want it to feel like just a you know, just a bunch of YouTubers making like a film and it comes across.
So this isn't going to be like that kind of YouTube style of acting. It's going to be next level. I want it to feel real,
like a real movie.
And you're directing it or you're just producing it?
Just producing. It's with the director of Escape the Night. So we're combining forces and we're both writing and... I love the story that we've created. Like I'm so excited.
You can't tell us the world, right?
It's gonna take place in 1950s.
Okay.
So very like housewifey, like
Pleasantville.
Yes. I love that movie. Yes. Absolutely.
I love that.
Yes.
Because then you could play with black and white versus color, like all that. That would be very cool.
I love Pleasantville.
Me too.
So yeah, that vibe.
Yeah.
I shot a promo at like a 1950s diner just to kind of give an aesthetic. Mm-hmm. The promo didn't really have anything to do with the actual movie. It's just kind of like set the tone a little bit and kind of get people excited.
Yeah, it's all about keeping people engaged in a positive way. I thank you so much for coming and checking in with me again.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
It's like, been too long, Joey.
It really has.
You're so sweet.
And I'll have to get you up on my channel.
Oh, we'll do something. We will set it up and I'm very excited to see. Put me through it. I'm ready to go.
I've put you, okay.
I know, because I've put you through so many things.
Oh,
pie
it's
fights
on.
And eating fish and chips and bearing your soul here on Vulnerable. But yeah, where can we find you and support? Obviously.
Well, the link will be down below I'm like acting like it's my channel. So link is down below, everyone.
It will be down below.
Okay. Thank you. I appreciate that. I'll send you the link when it's there. It'll be on Indiegogo. Look up Escape the Night and how you can support. And yeah.
That's mostly it. Everybody already follows you on YouTube.
That's all I care about is Escape the Night. Don't even follow me. Just go to the campaign and help make this get made. Thank you.
Yes, I'm excited for you.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming, Joey.
Of course.
Thanks so much for watching this episode of The Vulnerable Podcast. To check out clips from the pod, check out the Vulnerable Podcast Clips channel, and the YouTube link is in the description.